Yeah, even Jeff liked Origins,
Yeah,
so.
Jeff liked Origins. This is better than Origins.
I just don't have any money.
I mean, that's
And if I'm going to
fair.
buy a game, I'm probably just going to buy Red Dead.
Sell your body, Peter.
I would love
All
to.
right,
Nobody's paying.
don't. Let's not encourage that.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
That's right.
No, I mean, it's. Well, I guess it depends on where you are. It may be against local ordinance for you, so.
Yeah, fuck him.
That's right. Fuck the man. Both literally and figuratively.
Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 422. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
If
Was
I
I
were to
not
sell
on
my
for
body,
420?
what? No, you missed 420?
You
No,
missed
well, that's actually a
420.
good thing. I
Yeah.
just didn't realize we were that far along.
Yeah.
Oh, we're far along. We're in like the third trimester of podcasting.
God, what happens when we give birth then?
I don't know.
Jeff buys a new Tony Hawk game.
And then the cycle starts again.
That's right.
What were you going to say about if you were going to sell your body, Tony?
I don't even remember.
Okay.
Whatever I said since then was funnier anyway.
Pete is here as well, though.
Sure I am.
Back from New York.
Yeah, I was back like a week ago, but
How was the Comic Con?
it was fine. It was a most unmemorable experience, but
oh no.
such is life. Well,
Yeah.
hopefully life is a memorable experience.
Some parts, right? Not everything is memorable.
So you didn't see anything of interest? Nothing fun? Nothing cool?
Not really, no. I
You
didn't
spent.
get to. I guess I didn't. I couldn't find it, but they had Kingdom Hearts 3 out on that show floor.
Really?
I didn't know that. Yeah. There weren't. I couldn't find a whole lot of gaming stuff there, like outside of like vendors and stuff, obviously like shops and shit. But
Right, but like there wasn't like a whole lot of like display stuff for you.
yeah.
Well, that's a
So.
shame. But you did come back with some artwork, so
Yeah, I spent like a fuck ton of money on
did
art that I don't have any room on my wall to hang up yet because I need to go buy
so you don't have room
fresh.
on your art on your wall for the art, and you spend all your money on that instead of games. Just saying.
The art was cheaper and will be a more interesting experience, more than likely.
What do you need frames for it, or just don't have any room on your wall, actually?
Both, but I would like to frame things properly, I guess, if I'm gonna
That's fair.
do it like this, you know, so.
So, the biggest game of all time released
Out
last
next
week.
week.
Of all time. We're gonna be wowed by this.
I don't know.
I'm gonna regret all my choices, is what you're telling me.
Yes,
So Jeff would have you believe.
because it's Red Dead. But also Call of Duty came out, and that is generally the I mean Red Dead will probably destroy it in sales. But
This is
Call of
true.
Duty will hang around there for the foreseeable future, most likely. And that's out. Call of Duty Black Ops 4, the one without the campaign.
Ooh.
They learned finally.
They forgot something. Wait, what?
Yeah, they forgot a campaign. They shoehorned a story in, but they forgot a campaign. There is a good amount of cutscenes in the tutorial area for the specialists. So each of the, I think there's 12 specialists. Each of them has a tutorial mission, and then there's like a skirmish that kind of introduces you to the different multiplayer modes. And then there's a cutscene before and a cutscene after that all strings through. And evidently this game that doesn't have a campaign takes place in between the events of Black Ops 2 and Black Ops 3.
Great. This changes everything. I have no idea what happened in Black Ops 3. I never got that.
There's nothing of importance. It was weird. It was like it starts off with some Terminator thing.
It's a bad David Lynch movie.
Yeah. Like it's like David Lynch mixed with Michael Bay. It's not good. I did not like Black Ops 3 at all. Like I think all of it takes place in the main character's head.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. And not necessarily enjoyable. So yeah, like if you care about the Black Ops storyline, this brings back Frank Woods. You might remember him from Black Ops 1.
Nope.
No. Okay.
Which one was he? Was he the main character?
He was the other guy. The not like the main villain, but like the your partner or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know, the grizzled Vietnam guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
He must be really old then in the game.
He is a virtual simulation. So think of him as being inside the Matrix.
Oh, so he might even be dead.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he dies in Black Ops 2. I don't know. The whole thing is really weird. The fact that there is they obviously had an idea for a story, but then ripped out the campaign, but still had these cutscenes, and we're like, we're just going to attach them to these tutorial missions.
It'd be funny if they actually had a single player campaign. They're just like, yeah, screw it. I don't care.
It's like we're not going to put it out there. Yeah, so there's three different things going on in this game. It's basically three different games. There's the standard Call of Duty multiplayer experience, Team Deathmatch. What's the one where you slide around picking up dog tags?
Oh, I can't remember.
The wrong person.
I can't remember. It's been too
right.
long.
I mean, it's basically Team Deathmatch, but when you kill somebody, they drop a dog tag. You pick it up. It's a decent mode. They also have like, you know, your standard like team stuff, King of the Hill, which I believe they call Control or Hardpoint, or I don't know. There's like a bunch of weird things that they have. There's still like Seek and Destroy, which is the, you have one life, you go, you have to either blow up the bomb or, at a certain location or defend the bomb from being exploded in your base. That's all there, and it all plays pretty well because they toned it all back. There's no like jetpacks, and
there's no wall running.
No, there's no wall running, which does slow it down a little bit, but I think it actually feels a little bit better. I don't think wall running ever felt right in Call of Duty. Call of Duty already plays fast. And then they added wall running and the game became, I don't, for me at least, it became unplayable. It wasn't like wall running in Titanfall.
Where the game was built around it?
Yeah. Like it was just like, we're adding this and now it speeds up the game by 10. And Call of Duty was already like a super fast game. Like Titanfall feels right. Those Call of Duty games with the wall running and stuff did never felt right. So the regular multiplayer stuff, I think, is maybe the most fun I've had with Call of Duty since Advanced Warfare, which I played a ton of. So there's that. That's your standard stuff. They have tacked on. They've kind of kept the hero mode, I guess. Like where, you know, in Call of Duty, you pick your loadout. Like you have your pick 10, which has kind of become the standard you know, loadout setup mode that they have going. But now on top of that, there's these characters or heroes, I guess, if you want to like go by how Overwatch does it. And basically those, like you have your class that is your loadout. And then you pick a character that basically has a special and a super. So like the special like loads up quickly, like you can use it probably 3 or 4 or 5 times a match, and then the super like takes a little while longer. You normally get to use that twice a match. Those before it was like some crazy nonsense in the last few Call of Duties. These are pretty more grounded. Like the one I've been using, she gets like a basically like a grenade launcher that you can fire a bunch of shots. Another one like pulls out a six shooter that kills people like with one shot.
Ooh.
So like the, yeah, they're like your specials. So think Destiny, think Overwatch. There's even a the character, his name is Recon, which is very generic. He actually plays very much like a Widowmaker. I think it's Widowmaker. Is that right? From Overwatch? Sniper. Yeah, except he doesn't really have a sniper rifle, but his super is that like I can see through walls and mark people for my team.
Oh.
His special is basically he throws like a sensor dart that gives you a view of like the area so you can see enemy movements within it. So it's very, very inspired by Overwatch and Destiny and how that stuff plays, but more grounded, feels more natural to Call of Duty. And the multiplayer's fun. It's good stuff. Then there's zombies mode, which is kind of standard now, I guess, for Call of Duty. There are three different types of... There's like three different scenarios. One is on the Titanic, which is kind of cool.
Oh.
As
it's sinking, is the band playing on?
So it's all a bunch of zombies attacking you, but you're on the Titanic and
you get attacked by Cate Blanchett zombie or something.
Yes, yeah. No, what wasn't Cate Blanchett? What was her name?
Cate Beckinsale.
Cate Winslet. Yeah.
Oh, Winslet. Yeah. Whatever. One of the Cates.
Pete had it.
Cates are like Chris's.
You don't get attacked by them, but you are on the deck as the iceberg hits, and then all these zombies start attacking you as you run through the boat.
So the map changes as it sinks further?
I don't know. I've only ever reached like level 6 or 7 there. But as you get deeper, and I know if you get deeper into the boat, like the water does look like it's rising. It would be great if that mode just... Because all the modes end with you dying. Like there is no end to the zombies mode, which I always thought there was because there's supposed to be a story kind of attached to them. No, the objective of zombies mode is that you die. Like you always die.
Is it just to see how far you can get in the end?
Yeah, or... it's like a never ending wave based thing. Like so there's the Titanic one, and then there's another one that takes place in ancient Rome, specifically in the Colosseum.
Oh, I was going to say ask if it was the Colosseum.
Yeah, so you start
where
off.
Else would it be?
You start off like in the Colosseum, and you can unlock like different pathways, but you start off like dead smack in the center, and you unlock like different gates off to the side where, you know, tigers would come out or whatever. And they do. They're one of the special.
Are these zombie tigers?
Zombie tigers. But so they have a beginner's mode that is played on this map called 9, and that is played like on the easy difficulty. And on there, I think we got up to level 31 or 32, and it just kept like we had unlocked everything on the map. There were no more doors to open. It was just like as it went on, like you would just take more damage from the zombie hits, they would take more bullets, and but it didn't seem like it was ever ending. So I don't think there is an end. It is just to see how far you can get, which I found a little weird. So there's those two, the Titanic, the Ancient Rome, and then there's another one that has different characters. I think maybe was it Black Ops that introduced, like where they had a John F. Kennedy and Gorbachev and like them as the characters you play as.
No idea.
Yeah, I think something like that. And like, I think you play as those guys.
That was like original Black Ops, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was the first one, right?
Yeah. I remember that.
So they bring back those characters, I think, and But that,
in fact,
that,
you beat the game and it went right into that.
Yeah. And it's like not like it, they're Nazi zombies. They're not a, they're not like regular zombies like these other two modes. It's weird. But I don't know. People like zombies. I think it's fine. I played a bunch of it. I played enough that like I sampled all the different maps and all the different zombie modes, but it doesn't feel any different than other zombie games. Like it feels like, all right, they changed the map, that's it. And then there's the big mode, which is their big take mode on Battle Royale called Blackout.
The big mode.
I mean, right, it's a big addition to this year.
I just wish instead of Blackout, they just called it big mode.
Big mode.
mode everybody has now.
Big mode Battle Royale.
It's a very good version of PUBG.
Like better than PUBG version of PUBG?
I mean,
I'm sure it runs a lot better.
It runs way better than PUBG. And it has the Call of Duty like shooting, so you know if you like that type of gunplay, but I think it feels pretty well. It's a little bit weird in the fact that I think there's two, like up close, it feels like regular Call of Duty, where it's almost like hitbox, like where you're like, where you shoot is where your bullet goes, mm-hmm. like where you target. But there is bullet drop in the game, at further distances. So it must be like, there must be a certain distance that, enables like long distance shooting. So like, you can't just like use your sniper rifle and knock somebody out from across the map. Like your bullet will drop. So you do have to kind of take into account that. But then up close, it feels like regular Call of Duty. It's pretty fun. I kind of liked it. There are different vehicles, so you can fly helicopters, which you can't do in PUBG. They have these big flatbed trucks that like you and your whole team can kind of cruise around in. And then there are these like little two-seater ATVs. And they're fun. They go pretty fast. I don't know. I had a good time with it. The map is huge, but it still feels like it's very much just a battle royale game. Like, you know, there's, you all drop on to the map. You go and you collect your equipment. There's much like in PUBG, there are different levels of like armor. And so like you pick up like an armor piece. It can be level 1, 2, or 3. There are no helmets. You need level 3 armor to protect your head. So headshots are important, like they are in most Call of Duties. You can, there's like bandages and first aid kits and trauma kits. And so you heal by just pressing a button real quick. They have some cool inventory management. So, you know, when you kill somebody in PUBG and you want to loot their body, it brings up kind of like that inventory screen with the list of shit. This actually, it'll bring it up on screen so you don't lose visual of what's actually happening on the screen. And you can scroll right and left through what items they have.
Because it was designed with a console interface in mind.
Yeah.
The PUBG one, which is just a PC interface with console-ness.
Yeah, and I think what's good about it is it doesn't take you out of the game, so like you can still keep awareness of what's going on around you. There are some weird things in it. Like if you drop into the asylum, there are zombies there. So there are like certain locations where they've just like thrown in other Call of Duty things. So maybe stay away from the asylum. It also looks like they have just like taken aspects of different maps. So like Nuketown is an area on the map. Like you can go and you drop down and it looks exactly like the Nuketown map.
Huh.
Except more decrepit, like it's been there a little while longer. So that's kind of cool, like for people that have played you know, Call of Duty for a while to see like these things thrown in there. And I don't know. I still think it, as I said, it plays very much like a regular battle royale match, though, where I can like hide in a bathroom and or just basically like hide myself through most of the game and get pretty far in and then die when I engage somebody. But so it's like every pub, it's like every PUBG match I ever played. But I did get a few more kills than I would have in PUBG, but I think that just comes to the tightness of the gun handling in Call of Duty. It's cool. I think that Call of Duty probably should have just released that mode separate and maybe not charged for it and done what like Fortnite does and just keep updating it. Because it seems a little crazy to pay $60 for what this package is of. I don't know. It just seems a little lacking.
It just, when you can get it for free from other.
Yeah. Like I can play, like, I mean, like if you want to play that type of game, like, all right, maybe it's not quite as polished as what Activision has done with Blackout, but PUBG is $30. Fortnite's free. Like, I don't know. It doesn't do anything different enough to make me be like, yeah, this is the next evolution of it. Just like, this is another really good version of that. I'm hoping Battlefield 5's version is something different. So I don't need another Fortnite or PUBG type game. I already have them. But that's Call of Duty. I spent $7 on it this weekend, played it for about 15 hours, and I'm happy with that and probably won't play more of it. Especially with the games coming out. So that sounds interesting to you though. Sure, go try it. It's a good version of that. So, Tony.
Yes.
What have you been playing?
I have been playing a lot more Assassin's Creed. Mm-hmm. And it's still awesome and continues to be awesome.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm up to level 17 now. Mm-hmm. So I think that's taken me about 23 hours. I don't know. I'm still only in like chapter 3 of the story. I'm really getting like bogged down in the side quests, which I'm enjoying.
Okay.
They're all like, it's all so good. I talked about it a lot last week. I mean, I don't have anything earth-shattering to say that I didn't say last time. Mm. It's just, it's awesome, and everyone should play this game. It reminds me so much of The Witcher. It reminds me more of The Witcher than any Assassin's Creed game.
That's a cool comparison. Also, different enough to, you know, maybe entice some people that don't play Assassin's Creed to give it a shot.
Right.
So, I mean, you played a bunch more now. You played some of the side quests. But do you feel that, like, you're leveling
well I have enough, not had or any issues with the leveling. I know a lot of people have complained that it's not, you know, fast enough. But I have not had any problem with it. Like, when I've noticed that the next story quest is a higher level than me, it like I'm, like, within a mission or two of being at that level. So it's kind of hasn't made much of a difference.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear, because I've been listening to a bunch of different podcasts, and I hear some people going, it's not a problem at all, and then other people just like complaining nonstop about it. I'm like, what is going on?
If all you cared about was the story, maybe you could complain. Like, you're just trying to play, like, story mission after story mission after story mission.
Mm.
You can't do that. Like, if you were only interested in the core story, like, that's just not happening.
One thing that I heard that I'm curious what your take on is, like, with the cult member stuff specifically.
Uh-huh.
Like, have you found that system frustrating? Like, I've heard that there are times where, like, you try to go after this cult member, but the game doesn't tell you that you are far enough down one of the story paths in order to actually unlock them.
No. I mean, some of the cult members are, like, way higher level than me, so I can't really, like, touch that branch of the tree.
Just thinking, like, I don't know, I've heard, like, people say that, like, they'll go on the search for this guy, but it's actually like, oh, hey, you can't, he technically isn't out in the open world yet because you haven't reached a certain part in another segment of the game.
So the cult, it's like, there's like six trees, and you have to take out all the people in one branch of the tree to get to like the core cult members, and you can't get to them at all until you've done that. And some of these guys are in areas where right now you can't go because you'd like instantly die if anyone looked at you too hard. But I haven't had an issue where a cult member, I was trying to hunt down a cult member and couldn't get at him because he wasn't in the world. In fact, I've killed a couple by accident. I killed one guy. I didn't know he was a cult member, but he was like the leader of the region. So I was like weakening the region so that I could fight the battle in the region and take it over. But he just happened to be the leader of the region and I killed him and he was down. So I haven't had an issue where I've been like trying to get at a cult member and can't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cause that seemed to be the biggest thing for me, at least, where I was like, man, I don't want to like,
oh man, the cult thing is, I really like it a lot. You're like, hunting down clues to find the guys so that you can kill them. It's very, very Assassin's Creed-y. It's probably the most Assassin's Creed-y part of the game.
Mm. I am interested.
Yes.
For sure.
I was.
You should be. It's an awful game.
I looked at it too hard for too long, and I was just like, I'm not going to play this game, am I?
That is one thing that I'm finding a little bit daunting, although I probably will still get it like Black Friday, is its length, because
it is a long game.
That being long, and then Red Dead is probably like, even if you just mainline that story, it's probably still going to be like a 30 or 40 hour game.
But you can't mainline the story. So right, like, of Red Dead. Matter what, it's like at least 60, 70 hours.
For Red Dead or?
Red Dead. I'm sorry. I thought you
Yeah, no. I assume like Assassin's Creed sounds like you can't really mainline the story. Like that's where you'd run into issues. So that's going to be like a 70 hour experience, unless I guess you buy the experience boost or whatever.
Right.
But like Red Dead's probably going to be like 30, 40 hours, right? Like that seems to be what Rockstar delivers. They're so long. I'm like really looking forward to Battlefield 5, where their campaign is probably going to be like, you know, 6 hours long with, you know, over the six different stories, like,
right,
like an hour for each one. Be like, yes, I accomplished something.
Yeah, this game sort of brought up a larger, like, discussion of scale and how maybe we've hit the peak. Like we've Icarus's wings have reached the sun, and it's like maybe we have gone too far now.
In terms of scale
of games.
Yeah, from what Tony's saying, like this actually sounds like the side stuff is pretty good, but definitely like, I mean, everything I've heard about Far Cry 5 is like that game is overlong and all the side stuff is like not good.
Yes,
and
that game was no. This game is way better than that.
Yeah, no, it's like that. But I think Pete might be right. Like this may be that peak. we've gone a little too high. If we keep going any higher, we're just gonna burn and crash hard.
Right, like.
Like Odyssey and Red Dead might be the tip of it. Like we can't go any higher.
Right. And with, and you know, and I don't know necessarily the scale of Red Dead yet, so it's hard to compare necessarily, but like, you know, I feel like, and maybe it's a systems level thing too, where like with Breath of the Wild is a ostensibly large game, right? Like 150 shards or what, not shards, shrines.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But they're all bite-sized, but that's the only system, right? It's like there's the story and there are the side quests and there are the shrines. But it's not like you have to also worry about the cults, the main story, the war system, the brotherhood-like system, or the mercenary system, I guess it's called in this game, the ship combat system. You know, like, I imagine maybe it can almost feel more overwhelming than it actually is just based on the amount of shit that you have to worry about in a given moment. And that's kind of what worries me about Red Dead when everyone's talking about, like, the hygiene or...
the horse's like, balls.
Well, thankfully that isn't a mechanic I need to worry about, at least as far as I'm aware. I don't need to groom my horse's balls just yet.
But, maybe you do.
You know, making sure my weapon is clean and repaired, making sure that I've eaten and stuff like that and drank, because those affect my health and stamina regeneration and stuff like that. Like, I know they're for people, like, it almost makes me wish that if they are going to put that stuff in the game, they do what a game like Fallout New Vegas did, where it was like, hey, do you want a video game or do you want a simulation?
Right, like where it was a separate option, like you want to do like hardcore mode or whatever,
right.
that stuff's all there. But you can also play like a video-ass video game.
Exactly.
I hope so, because I'm going to be really disappointed if I have to like keep stopping my Red Deading to feed my character.
Right, and now granted, it may be one of those things where like, you know, maybe it's easier to manage because you're like always going to have food on you and stuff like that, like water's everywhere, so it's like super easy to get to, so it's just like, you know, part of the process, like, oh, I'm in this area, like, you don't feel like you have to go out of your way in order to fix some of these problems.
Right.
But, you know, Red Dead at least is, you know, we'll know more about that
very soon. Yeah. Very, very soon.
Yeah. Well, I guess by next, we'll know.
Yeah. Next week, we won't know.
The podcast after, I guess.
Yeah.
Unless there are some of us who are going to like digitally download it and stuff.
Jeff has it pre-ordered. And I think
he has the fancy version pre-ordered.
I don't know if he has the fancy version pre-ordered, but he definitely has a version pre-ordered, and it unlocks at 11 o'clock on whatever night it unlocks for him. So he may be playing it next week while we record. And that's not a good thing, because Jeff gets very excited about new things, so we won't get an objective.
I don't know. If it's anything like when he tried to talk about Breath of the Wild, it'd just be a lot of frothing at the mouth and grunts. So
it's so good.
This is true.
Just be a lot of him trying to form words and then just like sighing deeply and just like.
It's like, oh, okay. Like you're incoherent again. It's like half of our podcast anyway. So.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
All right, so I want to play Odyssey. I think I'm going to wait for Black Friday, but it is on my list. But yeah, these long games, we just get...
They're all very long.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of why, like, I think I've been drawn to roguelikes over the past several years, is, like, they're not very long games from beginning to end, but they're endlessly repeatable. So they're as long as I want them to be, essentially.
Yeah, like, nice. Oh, I got what I want out of this, I'm done. Or, like, I can keep going with it. Like, yeah.
Right. Yeah, you know, and as we'll learn, or as we'll discuss in a moment or two, maybe the scale is simply not sustainable from a perspective.
Yeah.
You know, like... Well, I mean, now granted, you know, like companies like Ubisoft and Rockstar have the money, right? Yes. Especially Rockstar, right? They're making money hand over fist just from GTA Online.
Yep.
So it's.
Yeah, I think we'll have very shortly. We're gonna have an interesting conversation on how this industry is progressing, and I do want to mention. I think that the Red Sox just made it to the World Series. Is that what I'm getting? This is because I'm seeing that our buddy Ryan.
He's crying.
Yeah,
is he crying tears? Real tears.
He just asked, "Why does baseball even exist? It's dumb, and I hate it."
Oh, who does he? Who are they playing against?
He is a Houston fan, so.
Oh.
I'm guessing that that the Red Sox won based on that.
So, do we know who they're playing against?
Not yet.
No, I think that's what the Dodgers and Milwaukee, and they were still that series is still going on.
Okay, so the Yankees are out then.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. The Yankees would have they play in the same conference as the Red Sox. So.
Well, I thought that, but then the World Series they did play each other in the World Series, and
no, they didn't.
No.
That's the
they would have played the American League Championship Series. But
was that what that happened in 2004?
Yep.
Who did they go on to play then? Was it the Cardinals or something?
Who was it?
I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah.
Doesn't even matter anymore.
This is true.
They swept them, whoever it was. They were bad.
It was the Cardinals. Okay. Yeah, St. Louis. Okay.
So let's get into some news, Pete.
Yeah, I have like one or two things.
I'm going to start off whatever the smaller one is.
Oh, yeah. So let's see. The guys at Psyonix are saying that they're going to release something called Rocket ID before the end of 2018, which is going to be sort of their all-encompassing account. Getting things ready for cross-platform in early 2019.
It's kind of like their version of the Epic account.
Yeah. Well, that way it's not just like that way you can sign into that account on any platform and not just have to use like your PSN on one system and then you know if you happen to own it on multiple platforms, I guess.
Yeah, and I wonder if what this will do is something kind of like what Epic does as well, where so if I buy a skin or earn a skin on my Xbox, that does transfer over to the Switch or the PC or iOS or I guess now PS4. Unless like they are consoles, but like I think PlayStation has a console specific skin that doesn't transfer anywhere else. But
yeah, I think there are a couple of those.
Everything else does. So. Maybe that's what, cause I know there are purchases in Rocket League. I bought some, like I bought like the Batmobile or something, at one point and the DeLorean. So I know that there are, you know, car purchases and other cosmetic stuff. So maybe that's all going to tie into that Rocket ID. That would be nice. I haven't played that game in over a year, so
same.
But I guess there's still people out there that are doing it. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. A bunch of my coworkers are playing and stuff like that. Like, I mean, Rocket League's still a really fun game. I'm just terrible at it. So,
what else we got?
Okay. So this one's weird. Let's see. I'm just running up my eyes over it real quick. So basically, like, independent game stores are being told that they won't receive copies of Red Dead until November.
That's weird.
That's really odd. Are they?
Yeah, they won't get it on October 26th. A few stores said they might be able to get Xbox One copies on time, but in general, local stores will be cut out of the first week.
That sucks. Yeah,
Redemption 2. Yeah,
that's pretty shitty.
Is that like a supply chain issue, or are they doing this on purpose?
See, I don't know. The Kotaku article says that Rockstar and Take-Two declined or have not responded to requests for comments.
I do wonder if, and I think it's shitty that they wouldn't get their copies, but historically it seems to be that like these independent shops are the ones that break street date.
Well, and that's literally what this paragraph says here. Yeah. Basically, that two distributors confirmed to Kotaku that it was a supply issue, that basically they didn't have enough to send these ones and pops, but that other people, even Daniel Madsen, who runs Video Games New York, which is like the greatest hole in the wall for video games shit, thanks to maybe some fear around local stores breaking street date. Granted, he says 5 days is a long... Another guy says 5 days to a week is a long time to be controlling for leaks. He thinks it could possibly be supply issue considering rumors he read that the game's physical copy is printed on two discs, not one.
Whew. Yikes.
I was seeing articles out there saying that like the physical disc size is actually larger than what the 104 that they had reported.
Is the download the digital version?
Well, both versions. That just the total amount of file size is actually larger than whatever was originally reported. Ooh. So, which is just like is almost stupid. Like, I mean, granted, I don't play many, like, I don't permanently install many games on my console, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so if you have a base console and that is it, like an original model PS4, which I do, or a original model Xbox One, like, they came with 500 gig hard drives, so that's 20% of, and I don't even think it was 500 usable either. It was normally like 400 something. So you're like using a quarter of it for one game. That's insane. I'm glad I have a external drive on my Xbox.
Yeah, so I don't, if that's true and it is two discs, and so it kind of sucks. A lot of, in this article saying a lot of people spent money on shit to like get ready for it, but like a lot of stores are saying that copies won't start shipping to them until like November 7th.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That is a shame, especially since like that's, I mean, they don't make a ton of money off of new games, but like getting, like, you know, if you are driving people to the bigger retailers, that's going to mean less of these little shops.
Yeah. Let's see. Hitman 2 is coming out very soon.
Yeah.
And the first elusive target is Sean Bean.
Yeah. likes to die in movies, likes to die in games.
That's pretty good. That's
a good choice. Well, yeah, the man who has a penchant for dying in every single way. Is now, yeah, he's playing an ex-MI5 agent turned contract killer. I don't know. So let's see, the game comes out on November 13th, and then the first elusive target starts the week later, which is November 20th, and then 20th. Players have 10 days to complete.
Okay. I never completed an elusive target. If you finish it, like, can you replay it? Like, is that...
No, you only get one shot, I think.
And so then, like, because they're like, because then like they disappear, right? If you've like fucked up and stuff, like,
you lose. So it's almost like they know you were trying to kill me, so now I'm out of your game.
Yeah.
Well, so Sean Bean's gonna live a lot then.
Yes,
probably. Yeah,
but he'll also die a lot. So
yes, it's, I mean, but he's used to that.
Right.
Okay. I know Jeff is getting Hitman. He screenshotted that he pre-ordered it this week, so
I would get Hitman, but man, I'm getting too many games.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And also, Hitman is a game that I don't feel like I would have fun playing. I have way more fun
watching
and reading about it, like with people who are funnier and more interesting, like who can do.
Like, I'm terrible at it. Like, I bought the last Hitman. It was fun what I played, but I was awful at it. Like, I had more fun watching Tony's clips than actually playing it.
Exactly.
I have a lot of fun with those games. I love killing people.
Like, my favorite video is the Giant Bomb Hits Miss video from not last year, from the year before when Vinny played.
Mm-hmm.
And he just did like the most stupid shit, like, and stuff like, oh god, like that video is so funny. And like those kind of things that you can do that like the game enables, I really like, you know.
But yeah, like I was, you know, watching Tony play it, and he's like dropping chandeliers on people and killing them in the bathroom, and like I have trouble like just doing anything. I get stuck on a balcony killing every guard in the world because I made too much noise. So
yeah, and now I guess we can get into the big one. I feel, though, I mean, big in the sense of like, I mean, the way that it sort of spread, but I feel like all we're going to do is reiterate the exact same comments we made during the Telltale stuff. But yeah,
sure.
Well, just in terms of like, crunch is bad, games developers need to unionize, etc. You know, but I guess, yeah, last week there was an interview with the New York Magazine.
Okay.
Where Dan Houser had a comment that basically read something to the effect of, we were working 100-hour weeks in 2018 to finish the game. And so everyone was like, what the fuck? Like, that's 20-hour days, unless you're dividing by 7, in which case it's a number that I'm not going to bother to do the math. I think
it came out to like 16 or 14-hour days if you were doing 7 days a week.
Right. Which is like, you know, lit everybody up going about like how, you know, working conditions in Rockstar, which habitually have been reported as pretty terrible. If you work in Rockstar North, I think, which is the ones that the Housers run, or is that Rockstar San Diego? I'm not sure which is the main location.
Rockstar Scotland, I thought, was right.
No, it's either the New York one or the West Coast one. I think it's the New York one, Rockstar North. That's like the head of Rockstar. Like that's where the Housers live and stuff.
Yes. That's in the UK. It's in Edinburgh.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
They have an office, I believe, in New York, but.
Yeah,
their headquarters for Rockstar, which is part of Take Two, is New York, New York. I don't think that's where the actual game development takes place, though.
Well, I don't know. I mean, also this game is being made by every Rockstar.
Right, it's like a multi-studio.
This article has comments from people in Rockstar Scotland and in Rockstar San Diego and in Rockstar, fuck all, you know, like. And stuff, but yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, this is the exact same conversation that happened, you know, not more than a month ago, when, you know, all the Telltale stuff was going on about working conditions and, you know, yes, people are being paid for their time, unless they're salaried, in which case they're just getting paid no matter how much they work, you know, like the same amount, no matter how much they work. You know, there are people out there who used to work there, say during the GTA 4 era, it was like working with a gun to your head 7 days a week. Other observers criticized the company for its overtime practices. You know, then Dan Houser put out a response to Kotaku that was basically, I was just talking about me and my writing team and stuff. He was referring to himself and his writing team for a 3-week period, and that we don't ask or expect anyone to work anything like this. And then in what felt like the most
contrived,
not contrived, but like most like planned move, where they were like, shit, we need some good press. We're going to let our employees talk about the company now.
Right. And there's not a single person that's going to be like, hey, yeah, it sucks here.
That company I work for, they're bad.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't do it, even if that's what you think. Like, you just keep your mouth shut. And that's not to say that you know, the people that are speaking out and saying that they do like it and that they're not treated badly are lying. But also the people that do speak out on it anonymously, they are also not lying. it's a weird thing, right?
Yeah, And I guess Jason Schreier, who's been reporting on all of this since it started, is working on a larger story about conditions at Rockstar that I assume will be out probably just before the game drops next week.
And he's been very close-lipped about what he's actually found out, which is interesting.
Yeah. Well, and apparently LeMond is also working on the story, which, if that name sounds familiar, that's the French newspaper that reported on all the shit going on at Quantic Dream as well. And I don't know if necessarily their two articles are the same thing or how that works. But yeah, I mean, that's that. I mean, so there is one comment on here from tool designer Tom Faultley. He says, "We do crunch. I've not seen anybody who forced to work 100 hours a week, but I've definitely seen friends get closer to that figure that is healthy. I am asked, encouraged, and expected to work overtime, both nights and weekends, when coming up to a big deadline. The most I've ever worked in a single week during my nearly 5 years here has been 79 hours, but that was not recently." So that's maybe the one negative comment from somebody on here. Everyone else is sort of like, it's better than it was back when we worked on GTA 4, man. Back, man, working at GTA 4 sucked ass. Like, but you know, that was like, what, 10 years ago more at this point?
Yeah, it's been a decade.
So
yeah, and then that was coming off of, so I think when the original Red Dead, well, not the original Red Dead, but when the original Red Dead Redemption launched, there was like big news stories about their kind of forcing people to work too much, and which is what makes this whole statement from Hauser really stupid. It's like, even if he was just referring to him and his executives that were, you know, doing this, to even like utter the words 100 hour work week
right
in an interview from a company that has in the past been accused of bad, you know, work practices. This is really dumb.
Well, not even that, but also from a company that habitually doesn't like give reviews.
Right. Like they finally like open their door and say, "Hey, we're going to do an interview." And then like shit pours out of this dude's mouth. Like, you couldn't hire a PR guy to be like, "Hey, let's not talk about how long we're working." Cause that might be taken the wrong way. Yeah. Or the right way, like, depending, you know, because I think that this is maybe a mix of both.
Right.
Right, like, in some ways, like, it almost sounds like he's vaguely proud of it.
So I think, like, you know, when in his explanation afterwards, I do think that, like, his original thing was like, I'm working really hard on this, and my guys are working really hard, and he wanted to like kind of show that like he's like really like passionate about it, and that's great. But you're also one of the people in charge of like a big company. It's like, even if you're super proud of the fact that you're doing this, maybe don't come out and say that, because it makes you seem like, this is what I expect of my employees.
Right.
And what this article doesn't, like, there have been a million and a half other stories out on Twitter from people who were like, "Hey, man, when the Housers came around, you were expected to be there, like, whether you were had anything to do or not, just because you needed to put on a show that, like, everyone was working really hard and stuff like that."
And that's not just, I can guarantee you that is not just this company. I've seen that in retail. Like, hey, the general manager's coming in this week. You have to be here, dress like differently, act differently. Like, you put on the dog and pony show, right?
Yep.
And I've seen that with, you know, the job I work now, where it's like, hey, the owners are coming in from Singapore. Like, put on a suit this week. I don't ever wear a fucking suit. You're telling me to put on a suit? Like, put on a suit, clear off your desk.
What job,
like,
do you think this is?
Clear off your desk of all your toys, like, because that's like kind of against company policy, but we don't give a shit if the owners aren't here. Like, it's, yeah, like, I am not surprised that, like, when the Housers are there, like, the dog and pony show goes on.
Yeah. But
I don't know, this whole thing, and We did talk about this with Telltale. I think all of us kind of said, like, hey, the movie industry doesn't do this. And they've been able to unionize and can continue to run. I do look at this like a little bit differently over the last couple weeks. It's like the movie industry is more of a like kind of a gig economy,
yeah,
where they get hired for projects. And that's not to say that people don't get hired for projects here, but for the most part, like if you're applying for a job at Rockstar North, you're not applying to work on the next Grand Theft Auto. You're applying to work for Rockstar North and whatever projects they have. And you expect that when GTA 6 is done, that you will have a job after that. And some people do get laid off, but it makes it, I think that makes it harder here because the way that the projects are set up and you are working for Rockstar, you are not. And the other side of that is also that so many people are willing to step over your burned out corpse when you're finally done. Like you've had enough, you've killed yourself working for this company, that they're willing to jump into that for lower wages and just for that to say, like, I'm in the industry now. Like,
right.
We have to get away from that. Right? it's nuts. And this is something that's come up, you know, I don't work in video games or tech, but it's something that we even like kind of discussed internally is, okay, well, we compare our salaries to comparable salaries of other companies. But one of the big complaints we consistently get is that we are not like, we don't raise our salaries. Well, if we're comparing it to our competitors, we're always going to have like a comparable salary to that. And we're never going to raise it too much higher than what we think it's going to be. Right. So like, if you want that job, like you will gladly jump over somebody that is working their ass off and killing themselves to get it. And because I don't know, I think there's so many unfair business practices that go around, not just in the video game industry, but overall. And I don't have a solution for it anymore. Like the idea of like, hey, let's rally and say let's unionize. That's great, but I don't even know if that's a doable thing unless everybody gets on board.
Right. And there are so many crazy people who it's kind of like I want higher salaries at retail, but there's just too many people who can do that job.
Right. So they're like, yeah, like $15. That sounds like a, you know, that I think we've had this discussion before is like, you know, let's get minimum wage to $15. But then you have the people that are like, what? I don't do that job. I do something that is way more skilled, but I'm only getting paid X. So they fight against, we've pitted the lower end workers against each other instead of making them turn on the people that actually have the money. It's shitty. The whole thing is shitty, Pete.
Yep.
Fix it.
I would love to. I just need to finish taking over the United States government and we'll be there in no time.
Purging everybody.
I'm telling you, man, the guillotine's the way to go.
I'm in favor.
Works for the French.
Chop, chop.
I'm sure that you're in favor, Toby. you do use the moniker, I am Napoleon.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Didn't say there was. I'm just saying I can see that you would be in favor of using the guillotine. I don't know. This whole thing makes me sad. I'm not going to boycott Red Dead. I just want to make that abundantly clear, even though I find these practices shitty. I don't think my boycotting it is going to have any effect either.
This is true. Enough people are going to buy it who just don't care. It's not.
Well, one, I also think that even if we all got together and were like, we're not going to buy it, Rockstar is not going to turn around and go, oh, this is because we have shitty work environment. They're just going to make shittier work environments, and they're going to fire more people and make the people they have work harder for less so that they can increase their profits.
Yeah.
It's bad.
We're doomed. It's basically what you're saying.
Yep.
I am. I'm sorry. I'm being very pessimistic here. I have no foresight on how to improve this.
We'll just all await the sweet release of death. And
I think that's what I'm saying. I'm sorry, guys. I've depressed us all.
Where's Jeff to make us happy? He likes joy.
He's been like, I'm buying Red Dead. Yes, like, you are, Jeff.
People deserve to work harder.
It's like he's not even going to be like, I'm buying. He's like, I already bought Red Dead.
All right, so it doesn't really matter.
Like, they already have my money. Oh, yeah. Work sucks.
Yeah.
I think that's what we've come to the conclusion of. And that's not saying you can't enjoy what you do. It's just that there's so many things about work in corporations in this world that sucks. All right. So I have a question here, came in from our buddy Daxter. He wants to know, what is the most valuable game we own?
Well, I know you collect games. Like, you go and get all those, like, old ones. I do not do that. None of my games are older than the last console generation.
Okay, so yours are all more recent.
Yeah.
I actually have a nifty little app that has all my collection in it. And actually, the one that is most valuable, according to this, is Xenosaga 3. Just like a weird one, but I have a case in box, and it's only valued at $72, but that's more than what I paid for it, so that's nice. Pete,
yes,
do you know what your most valuable game is?
No. I don't know. I mean, it's probably. I mean, I have a bunch of original PlayStation 1 games, but like, just in terms of time, I don't have anything rare. Like,
Yeah, I think my most valuable.
I don't know if original Dreamcast copy of Sonic Adventure 2 counts for anything, but
I could tell you. Dreamcast. Let's see, Dreamcast. That is on my retro app. What'd you say? Sonic Adventure 2?
Yeah.
I know that's one I don't have. I have the original Sonic Adventure. Sonic Adventure 2 is worth $33 case in box. That's not bad. But for my Dreamcast, it would be Skies of Arcadia is $69 case in box.
Damn, nice.
So sorry, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also not old enough to really have games that are probably going to be worth very much.
It's funny, like, I mean, I have a pretty big collection of Nintendo and Genesis and Super Nintendo games, but I think Xenosaga 3 on the PS2 is the one that is most valuable in my collection. followed by a game called Shadow Hearts. I don't know if you guys remember that. Also an RPG, but so sorry, Paul. You could tell us what your most valuable game is. We could share that next week, but Tony and Pete, not really big collectors, and Pete's young.
I want to, like, I think it would be a lot of fun to collect certain types of rare games, like, you know, but I just don't have the money to get started and stuff. Plus, I would only want, like, four very specific games that are really hard to get or something like that. Like, I've been searching for a copy of Rule of Rose for probably 5 or 6 years, and I'm just too lazy to buy it off eBay because it's very expensive.
I also think, like, I often find myself going, like, I could get this game if I'm just willing to pay for it online, like, get it off of eBay or off of, like, the Amazon Marketplace. But I do like going to, like, retro game stores or conventions, like, where, or, like, other places like that where they have older games on sale. I'm just finding it somewhere. Like, to me, that's, like, the fun part. It's like, shit, I found this in the wild. It's like when I actually, like, I was, like, giddy when I found the copy of Xenosaga 3, like, at the game shop that's near here. It's like an independent little game store that probably won't be getting Red Dead. But they make all their money off of, like, those used games that the collection of, they have, like, a big collection of, like, PlayStation 2 era GameCube games, and, like, that seems to be where the big bulk of their stuff is. It's like finding cartridges for older systems is getting harder and harder.
Oh, I got you.
And the ones they have are common, so, like, they're not worth a ton. Like, there's tons of copies of Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. But everybody that owned the Nintendo Entertainment System had one of them. So,
right.
They're not worth shit. But yeah, it's a fun hobby. I would like to know what Daxter has as his most valuable game. So. And we could ask Jeff too. He can answer that on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm sure Jeff has probably a decent selection.
Yeah, he will randomly buy weird shit. So
I'm shocked by that.
Right?
It's when he buys normal things that I get confused.
Yeah, it's like, what? Why'd you do that? That actually makes sense, Jeff. All right, that's it for us this week. We'll be back next week. I don't think Tony will. He'll be traveling.
Yeah, I think I'll be back, but I'm not sure that I will be coherent enough to be on a podcast.
This is understandable.
I'm going to San Antonio for work.
Gross.
Yes. It'd be nice to go to San Antonio for not work, but it's not why I'm going.
Well, enjoy your week in San Antonio where it's for work. Or at least try. Like, have a local San Antonio beer or something.
Is there any?
I don't know. I'm sure there has to be a local brewery there, right? Like, sure. You go to, like, a little podunk town and they have a local brewery. Yeah. Everyone has a brewery.
It's very true.
Or maybe you can have Ryan drive from Houston. I don't know where San Antonio is in relation to Houston, so that could be a long drive for him, but he could bring you a six pack of his beer.
That's right. I should have him send it to the hotel.
Yeah. I don't know what we'll have next week. Cause there's not a lot in between now and Red Dead. So, but I'm sure we'll come up with something. I think there's some new stuff to Game Pass. Jeff is probably buying a Dark Souls on Switch, which is just stupid, but look, I'm not against, like, I know Jeff really likes Dark Souls, but I hear that's not a good version of that game, and I don't know, it seems like a waste of money to me, especially since he already owns Dark Souls like 3 times. What's he need a fourth time for?
He needs at least 5 more times.
But I guess I shouldn't speak because I own like Skyrim on fucking everything. So, though Skyrim's an actually good game.
Rude.
I'm sorry, Pete also likes Dark Souls. I'm sorry. Should not.
Sorry, you're not good at it, Chris. Jeez.
You're right. I am not good at it. I don't understand it. I've tried excessively. I will not put more money into that series.
It sucks. They're bad games that you should not play.
And Tony's just going there. he's not even holding back.
That's right.
All right. We'll have something. Who knows what. We'll be without Tony. Hopefully Pete will be back. Hopefully Jeff will be back. And
otherwise, Chris will be doing the podcast by himself.
Yeah, I'll just talking to them. Actually, Jeff will be back. I can guarantee that because we will have a movie dudes to record. So
did you guys not record today?
We did not record today. That is why Jeff is not here. One, he said he didn't have anything, but also he went to go see Halloween.
Okay. When he emailed saying he didn't have anything, I then saw him on Facebook being like, I'm watching Halloween. I was like, why did you just say he was going to go to the movies? Like,
I knew he was going.
I think Halloween. We all knew because he was like counting down.
Yeah.
Twitter.
Like hours. yeah, he viewed this as his Force Awakens, which was weird.
Which says a lot about Jeff, I think.
I don't think Halloween's a cultural event.
No.
Kind of like Star Wars is. But hey, if it makes him happy, I really like Halloween too. And I will be going to see it tomorrow. But hopefully he liked it. I have not seen any of his tweets, so.
Yeah, I will be. I feel like if he doesn't like it, he'll be the most broken human we've ever seen in our entire lives.
This is true. And that like, will take a lot to repair him.
He has been looking forward to this movie since its inception, and it will kill him if.
This is true.
This is something to look forward to then.
I feel I need to text him to make sure he's okay.
Is he out now?
He should be out. I think the screening was at 9, so he should be okay. He should be home. Anyway, we'll have something hopefully with a not broken Jeff. Although that could be interesting if we had broken Jeff on. But Pete, since Jeff is not here and Fozzie has also left us, say goodnight.
Goodnight.